Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Well, good evening. How are we doing?
Good evening.
I guess nobody wanted to sit in the splash zone, so everyone's off to the side, so. Before we get started tonight, I just want to take a minute and talk about a few things. I don't know if all of you are aware, but on our website at thearkchurch.com, we have a healing class podcast. And so all of the teachings that have taken place from last week back for the last 5 years, all those teachings are captured on our website. And so I would encourage you to go on and subscribe to that, because it'll bless you, it'll increase your faith, and it'll support all the teaching that's going on in here. You don't have to wait until every Wednesday to hear about healing. You can hear it every day from now until forever. The other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is, you know, this semester we've introduced these flashcards. And I would encourage you, get the word on the inside of you. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, because what we found is the word will impact your life. It'll bring healing into your life, and it'll strengthen your spirit and increase your faith. And we're going to dig into that as well. And then finally, we're introducing something new that is just new, and we've created a Facebook group page for Healing Class, and we have actually a QR code in class you can scan to be linked up to this Facebook page. And here's what we're going to do. In this group, we're going to post testimonies, not only just any testimonies. We've had some healing miracles that have taken place here in our church body, here through Healing Class. So we're going to be posting those. We're going to post some different helpful resources as well. And so I would just encourage you, take advantage of every resource that's made available to you. And watch what God begins to do in your lives in the days ahead. God's going to do some great things. And I believe healing is a part of that. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have together. And Lord, we thank you that you are here in our midst. And so, Father, as we come before you and enter into our healing class time together, Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that every ear is open, every heart is receptive to your word. And Father, I thank you that you are already doing a work in our lives and in our bodies. Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you that healing's at work in our bodies right now, in our minds right now. And Father, we thank you for doing a new thing in us, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's hold up our Bibles. We're going to make our confession tonight, our family confession. So repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It's God's word to me.
It's God's word to me.
It strengthens me.
It refreshes me.
It's medicine to me.
And I love to read my Bible.
Do you believe that, or are you just saying it because I told you to say it?
Believe it. Amen.
The Bible is a good thing. Well, you know, I told my wife this a couple of days ago. I told her she's on borrowed time, because November 1st for me is Christmas season. And so I said, get ready, because the Christmas music is coming out, and I'm going to watch some Christmas movies. I'm just that guy. I'm that guy a lot of people talk about, but I don't care. I love Christmas. And one of the songs I love, it's Do You Hear What I Hear? And I believe it's really important to what we're talking about today is, you know, do you hear what I hear? You know, when we talk about healing, do you hear the same things? That's important. What we hear is very important. A lot of us come from different backgrounds. There was a time in my life where I believed that healing wasn't for everyone, but that's not true. There was a time in my life where I believed healing had passed away, but that's not true. And so it's important that what we hear is true and in line with God's word. And so I wanted to start out tonight. You know, we were talking a little bit with Ms. Joy taught last week about faith. I wanted to start out with one of the scriptures of faith in the Bible. It's Hebrews 11:1, actually. I didn't put 1 there. And the passage I'm going to read from is from the Amplified Translation. It says, now faith is the assurance. the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. I love that because these words are so descriptive for me. Assurance, confirmation, title deed, conviction. There's some other translations that say confidence. And we have to understand that faith, it's a good thing. Faith is an essential thing. In the kingdom of God, we have to have faith. And we're going to talk tonight about how we get that. So what do we need to be convinced of? Or what do we need to have a conviction about? Or what do we need to be assured of? 1 Peter 2:24 says, He personally bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, and by his wounds you have been healed.
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. Say, by his wounds,
by his wounds,
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
Let's say it one more time. Say,
by his wounds,
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
Now let's say it one more time like we really believe that. Say, by his wounds,
by his wounds,
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
You see, we have to be assured and convinced of that very truth. That by the wounds and by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. I am healed. We must be convinced that healing's a part of the package. It's not all just salvation, but healing is a part of that. We have to believe that personal wholeness, meaning being healed spiritually, being healed mentally, and being healed physically, are all included. We have to be assured of that. And then we have to understand, this scripture says we have been healed. It's a done deal. It's a finished work. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being was for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole." With the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Say it with me. Say,
I am healed
and made whole.
With his stripes,
I am healed
and made whole.
We have to be convinced of that. We have to be assured of that. And then finally, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says this. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, where it said, he himself took our weaknesses and our infirmities and bore away our diseases. So of these three passages, we have to be convinced, we have to be assured, we have to be fully persuaded that if the scriptures say it, then it's true for me. What I found in my time of volunteering and serving in ministry is a lot of times we have a easy time believing that God does all these things for people, but we have a more difficult time believing that God has done these things or will do these things for us. We have to be convinced that he'll do it for us, that he's doing it for us, that it's been done for me. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we can get to that point. Jesus suffered so you and I don't have to. And so healing belongs to us. I want to say that again. Healing belongs to us. It's ours. It's mine. That has to be our mentality no matter what comes against us. Our healing is a finished work. Our foundational passage this semester is about Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood. So I want to take some time and read out of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5. So let's turn there, Mark chapter 5. And we'll read it, and then we're going to unpack it together. So Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 21, it says, "Now when Jesus has crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, And a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered from many things and many physicians, and she'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I may only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher anymore? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why are you making this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, but he put them outside, and he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered into where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand, and he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and he said something should be given to her to eat. It's a great story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But here's the deal. It's always interested me in this. We have two accounts here. First, we have Jairus. The Bible paints a clear picture. He's a ruler of a synagogue. He's not one of Jesus' disciples going from place to place, following him around. He's the ruler of a synagogue. He's handling a business over here. But somehow, he saw fit that when he heard Jesus was in the area, to go to him because he knew that Jesus could help his little girl. I don't know how he heard about Jesus. So I would gather to imagine that at some point he heard about Jesus as the healer, about all the stories about how Jesus went about curing people of all types of diseases, laying hands on the sick, how they were recovering. At some point, he had to have heard that. Why do I say that? Because the Bible paints a clear picture. It says when he got to Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he didn't ask. He said, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and live. Where did that come from? He didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but somewhere along the line, he heard about Jesus. He heard about what he did, and he became convinced that he was the answer, that if he got to Jesus, his daughter's situation would change. And then on the way with Jesus to his little girl, this woman pops up. And the Bible says she's been dealing with this situation for 12 years. So for 12 years, I would imagine she's been getting bad report after bad report. She's probably been told, you know, there's nothing else that I can do. I don't have the means to help you. But the Bible says, but when she heard about Jesus, she thought to herself, if I can simply get to him, I will be made well. And so what we hear is very important. So I ask all of you today, what do you hear? What have you heard? What are you listening to regarding healing? It's very important. In Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, out of the NLT version, Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear, because the closer you listen, the more understanding you'll be given, and you will receive even more. And to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away. What we hear is very important. We want to make sure we're hearing and listening to the right things. We must first turn our hearing to the Lord to be converted, to be received by Him, to receive Him as our Lord and Savior. But we must also choose what we hear and choose it carefully and accept and reject based upon what's being said. Does what I'm hearing line up with the Word of God? Does it line up? All of us have to make that decision. You know, Miss Joy talked about Miss Janet and I and how long we've all been involved and the fact that we've all gone through our healing journeys as well. And, you know, I think of two examples. I think of when I first came here to the Houston area, and I was working for a company and working a lot of hours, and it was a very stressful environment, and there was a lot of tension. And I began having panic attacks, and I began being agitated. I began not being able to sleep and just having a tough time of things. And I remember it was going on for a long period of time, and my wife finally said, you're going to have to do something. You need to go talk to someone. And so I went to a doctor. And again, I love medical professionals. I have friends who are medical professionals. But what I've learned in my walk, in my life, Jesus and the Word of God always has the final say. That's how I live my life. Amen. And so I went to this doctor. The doctor, for 15 minutes, was clicking on his keyboard as I'm telling him all the things that I'm dealing with. And after 15 minutes, he goes, you're clinically depressed. I'll be right back. He goes out, gets a bag full of pills, comes back in, says, take these, make any adjustments, and then come back in a few weeks. We'll make whatever adjustments we need to make, and then we'll see where we go from there. And so I left that place, went home. My wife asked me what happened, and I told her, the doctor says I'm depressed. And I remember she said, the doctor said you're depressed? And I just sounded pitiful. I said, yeah, the doctor says I'm depressed. I guess I'm depressed. And she says, on her way out of the room, what does Jesus say? And she just walks out of the room. And I remember thinking, I've heard what this man said, but I've not even considered the things that God has said. And I sat, and so I opened my Bible, and I happened upon the scripture that's been there forever, 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And it's something about when I read that scripture, it just went off like bells on the inside of me. Soundness of mind. Like he's already given it to me, past tense. You see, we talked about something else that was past tense. The Bible says he's given me soundness of mind. And so if he's given me soundness of mind, there's no room for panic attacks. There's no room for anxiety, agitation. And so I began to internalize that and focus on what the Word said. And shortly thereafter, the panic attack ceased. I was not anxious anymore. I was able to sleep at night. What happened? I changed the tune. I stopped listening to what someone else said, and I began to listen to what God says in His Word. What we hear is important. It's very important. It is key if we're going to be able to receive and walk in complete healing and walk in complete wholeness. It's critical. That's on the mental side. I've had physical healing in my body as well. Several years ago, I was hospitalized with pneumonia. My left lung was full of bacteria and fluid. I couldn't breathe. There were sharp shooting pains in my body. I was in the hospital. And, you know, if you've been around, you know, Pastor Allen kind of makes jokes sometimes with people, and he'll say, hey, if he goes, you know, John Fernandez, he's great at what he does when he goes to visit people in the hospital. You don't want me to come visit you in the hospital because that's not a good thing. And Pastor Allen came to the hospital to see me one day, and I'm like, oh, this is not a good thing. But I couldn't breathe. I mean, I had never experienced anything like that in my entire life. And, you know, you have all these tubes. I've never been hospitalized, and I'm struggling breathing. And then what really struck me was my little girl wouldn't come into the room because she was terrified. So I have all this that I'm dealing with, and then they assign me this nurse who comes in, and he tells me, I need to put these sock things on your feet and on your calves. And so I simply asked a question, and I said, well, what are those things for? He goes, well, they're to keep the circulation going in your legs, because if not, you're going to develop blood clots. And then he goes on and says, you know, we had a guy your size, your height, who came in here last week. He developed blood clots, and one went up into his lungs, and he didn't make it out of here. And so he starts telling me all this doom and gloom, and so now I'm thinking, I'm going to die. And I got caught up saying, I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. What about my kids? What about my wife? And I finally got quiet long enough for the Lord to remind me, one, you teach in healing class. What are you doing? But two, that by the stripes of Jesus, you already have your healing, son. And so I had to shift my focus and stop listening to what was said and shift it back to the Lord and his word and listen to that. And I found a scripture in the Bible where God says he breathed the breath of life into us. And when I read that, it just went off in bells, like bells again. And I remember saying, God, I thank you that once again you're breathing your breath into me. And as you breathe your breath into me, there's no place for bacteria. There's no place for fluid. And this is what God did. This is what God did. The doctor said, Mr. Thompson, you've been dealing with this too long. If this continues to happen, we're going to have to drain the fluid the old-fashioned way. And I asked a question. I said, what does that mean? And she picks up this big needle with this big, you know, and I said, oh, no, the devil is a lie. You're not sticking me with that. And so I began just to focus on the word. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that your breath is in him, is being breathed into me. And as you breathe your breath into me, there's no place for this fluid. And an hour later, they took me back down to an x-ray. And when they took me back down, my left lung was completely clean. I mean, I was still taking steps to full recovery, but the bacteria was gone. What happened? I shifted my focus from listening to what this nurse said, from listening to the voice of the enemy telling me I was going to die and my wife was going to be a widow and all this other stuff, and I began to listen to the Lord and his word and remind myself of what the word had said. And so what we hear is critical. Yes, ma'am. I'll give that to you afterwards. Yes, ma'am. And so what we hear is critical. And so we choose what we accept and what we reject. We must discipline ourselves to be selective, to grow in our trust, in our faith in God and his word. We must discipline ourselves to overcome doubt and unbelief. And we must discipline ourselves to receive healing from God. Why? Because when that happens, it glorifies God. It glorifies him. Sickness does not glorify God. Healing does. And so why is all this important? Because the faith that we need to receive healing comes from hearing the right things about the Lord and his word. We saw that with Jairus. We saw that with the woman with the issue of blood. And so being selective about what we hear, it comes when we accept the right, when we accept the truth, when we reject the bad, when we reject what doesn't line up with God's word. So how do we increase our faith? Faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like to say it like this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We never stop hearing the word of God. That's how your faith is going to grow. That's how we get to the point where the woman with the issue of blood, who's been dealing with something for 12 years, where she didn't give up, she had that grit, she kept going because she was convinced that if she could get to Jesus, her situation would turn around. And so we have to stay in an environment where the word is being taught, where we can grow our faith. True faith is not something that can be faked, meaning I can't come into healing class and sit week after week, and then when we say that God's a healer and someone says, yes, he is, and you're saying that just because you're in a healing class environment or the person you're talking to, they're full of faith, and then you go home and you have doubt and unbelief. No, you have to be convinced. Amen. You have to be fully persuaded. You have to be, just like I said a minute ago, that God's word in my life will be the final word, period. And as a result, what's going to happen is your faith is going to grow. So how can we practically put ourselves in an environment where we can hear the true things, the right things? Well, come to church. Every time the doors are open at the church, come to church. And that's a decision that we can all make. It's an easy decision. No matter what's going on, I'm going to be in church. What else can we do? Read the Bible. Read it. I encourage you to read it out loud. Why? Because you're hearing the Word of God. If you don't feel comfortable reading the Word of God out loud, I challenge you on our Bible 365. There, you can push play and those things will read to you. I remember when my daughter was young, I was outside doing yard work and my wife and the other two kids were gone. And I came in the house to get something to drink and I hear this man's voice speaking. So I immediately go running up the stairs, and I didn't realize my daughter had pushed play on the Bible app, and the Bible is reading to her. Like, we have all of this technology. Do what you can to hear the Word of God. Keep it constantly before you. Why? What's that going to do? It's going to build your faith. We have our healing class. I'd encourage you. Stick with us. Come to every class. Why? Because it's like building blocks. And you know, my kids, they're older now, but I remember when they were in that Lego phase and when I'd have to pick up behind them after they went to bed, and my son was notorious for this. He'd build these big towers. Well, the big tower didn't fit in the tote that we had for the Lego, so I'd have to take them apart. Well, he'd spent all the time building these things and interlocking these things, and they were so strong it would get frustrating because I'm trying to pull them apart, and it would just take a long time to pull them apart. Why? Because they built upon each other, and all of them together made the foundation of this thing stronger than just the one little piece. As you come to healing class week after week after week after week, as you come to church week after week after week after week, as you read your word week after week after week after week, you have these building blocks, and your faith becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And so stay with it. Stay in it. I can tell you. I came to healing class somewhere between 2004 and 2005. And as Ms. Joy reminded me, when I first came to healing class, I was trying to hide out in the back row. We were in a classroom 101. And I couldn't tell you why I came, but I can tell you what it was doing for me. God was doing something on the inside of me. And listening to their faith began to do something on the inside of me, one building block. Listening to their faith and then going home and reading it for myself began to do more in me, another block. Listening to their faith, reading it for myself, tying it into what Pastor was teaching in the main service, did even more for me. And then, I mean, God began to do something on the inside of me. Emotional healing, physical healings. That's what God will do for all of us. But we have to put ourselves in an environment to hear the right things. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what we listen to affects our thoughts and influences us, and we have to understand that. It does. It did that for Jairus. It did that for the woman. You ever heard of the last song syndrome? Last song. You ever had a song that just went over and over and over? You went to sleep, woke up, and that song's still on the inside of you? Like you can't shake it? It's called the last song syndrome. Like my wife will tell you, when we first got married, I drove her nuts. There was this song I played over and over and over. It was this love song, and she's like, oh my gosh, will you stop playing that song? So then I would hum it. She's like, will you stop humming that song? She goes, I can't get that out of my head. Well, that's how we have to get with the Word of God. We have to get it on the inside of us. And we have to get to a place where we don't want to get it out of our head. Why? Because it's growing our faith. It's increasing our faith. It's doing something on the inside of us. You know, Miss Joy for several years has had the staff going over Proverbs 3:5. You know, I trust in the Lord with all of my heart, and I'll lean not on my understanding. Earlier, I shared with you 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. What are those scriptures that are on repeat on the inside of you? I like to say it like this. What are those scriptures that are an echo in your heart? You want to have the scriptures on the inside of you because that's a big part of your healing journey. In the same way, what we listen to over and over again will have a definite impact on our thoughts, on what we believe, on our faith. And so we want to create those echoes in our hearts. And so use these flashcards. Use the things that you see online and get them on the inside of you. So that's why we need the Word of God in our lives. You got to be in the Word of God. Many of you heard my Word of God story. We all can find the Bible that we understand. And so find the Bible and commit to it. Highlight your Bible. Write in your Bible. Make it plain to yourself. Make notes for yourself. And watch what God begins to do. And so tonight, you know, we debuted these cards. Tonight's card that you all got is Proverbs 4, 20 and 23. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The word of God is health for your body. The word of God will save your life. It will save my life. And so get these words on the inside of you and watch what God begins to do. Philippians 4:8 says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true." Fix your thoughts on what is true. Let me ask you tonight, is sickness true? Does sickness belong to God's children?
No.
The Bible said that healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to you and I. That's true. So no matter the diagnosis, no matter what someone says, no matter what you feel, fix your thoughts on that. Lord, thank you that healing belongs to me. Lord, thank you that healing is mine. Lord, thank you that just like you said in Jeremiah 33:6, healing's at work in me right now. Fix your thoughts on that and that alone. Well, I'm struggling keeping my thoughts on that. Well, put yourself in a place to hear the word of God. Put yourself in a place to hear the truth. Put yourself in a place where you hear about Jesus and all that he does, all that he's done, and all that he's doing. That is the reason we create these resources. We want you to be able to read the stories of Jesus. We want you to be able to be encouraged and hear about the stories about what Jesus is doing here. And God's no respecter of persons. If he did it for Becky, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Miss Joy, he'll do it for you. He's a good God. He's a faithful God.
Amen.
And he will do it. Restoring the mind, we have to understand that's a process. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. It requires much effort, and it will require time and effort and diligence to feed and meditate on God's word. We have a part to play. If we haven't developed a habit of listening to the word, of coming to church, of being in healing class, of growing our faith, we've got to develop that. There's no condemnation in that. But we all know that faith without works is dead. And so start reading your Bible. Start listening to healing podcasts. Start growing your faith. And watch what begins to happen. I would have never known those scriptures sitting in the hospital bed if I hadn't done something. And if I can be honest with you, when I first came to Conroe, I didn't know those scriptures. I've been in church my entire life. It's because I relied on others to tell me about the goodness of God, about what his word said. But God's word began to work on my behalf when I began to do these things. And God wants to do that for all of us, guys. We want to feed on the word of God and sit under accurate teaching of the word. Our teaching needs to be important. Why is that important? Why? Because wrong thinking leads to wrong believing. Wrong believing leads to wrong speaking, and wrong speaking opens the door for the wrong things to happen. We're believing for healing. And so we have to get our thoughts right. We have to get our words right. And the only way that's going to happen is by receiving the Word of God. Right thinking, thinking the thoughts that line up with the Word, leads to right believing and right speaking, and our lives will be transformed into a life that's been touched by God, meaning we'll see His healing mercies flow and operating in our life. Do you believe that there are things that are too big for God?
No.
Do you think that there are things that have caught God off guard?
No.
Things that He doesn't have answers for? The Bible says that there's nothing too difficult for God. So knowing that, we should have an expectation knowing that God's healing power is already at work. That I'm walking this thing out and my body's going to be strong. My mind's going to be at peace. There's nothing too difficult for God. And nothing too difficult for God to do to you. And we have to learn also to answer the wrong thoughts with the Word. We have to. We have to answer the wrong thoughts with the Word. Can you imagine being in a situation where you're dealing with the same thing for 12 years and everyone around you says there's nothing that they can do? I'd imagine your thoughts would be in a bad place. But I love the fact the scripture said that that woman said to herself that if I can get to Jesus, I'll be made well. Like she's speaking to herself. She wasn't speaking to anybody else. We get a little peek into this exchange she's having with herself. And that's how we have to get. You feel a sharp pain. Lord, I thank you that you are at work healing me on the inside. You get a bad diagnosis, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I've told all of you about my story about my uncle who was in a bad car accident going down I-35, and they totaled his car. I mean, he was in this big Land Cruiser, and it was like a little accordion, and he goes to the hospital, and they do an x-ray, and the doctor comes in and says, Mr. Gardner, I don't know how to tell you this, but you have the same injury that Christopher Reeve, the real Superman, by the way, Christopher Reeve had. And if you move the wrong way, you can be paralyzed for the rest of your life. And I love the story because my uncle said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He goes, no, Mr. Gardner, I don't think you understand. You have the same injury that changed Christopher Reeve's life. And one bad move, you will never move on your own again. And he said, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Doctor got so frustrated, he storms out of the room and he's gone for a minute. And I guess he thought, okay, this man's a black guy, so I'm going to send in a black doctor. And so the black guy comes in and says, hey, man, how you doing? And, you know, I just want to let you know, we looked at your results, and you have a pretty serious injury, and you potentially could be paralyzed for the rest of your life. And my uncle looked at him and said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So they realized that wasn't going to work, so he walked out. And then after some time went, this other guy comes in and he goes, hey, bless God. And they brought the Christian doctor in. He goes, I just wanted to come and talk to you. They told me your results. And so same thing. He tells him, hey, this is a very serious thing. And, you know, I know I have faith too. And, you know, but we've really got to take this thing seriously. And my uncle cut the guy off and said, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And he looked at his wife and said, take me home. I want to find a doctor who has faith. So he left, and they went home and did some research, found a doctor that was a spirit-filled doctor who, you know, had faith, who believed in the Word of God, who lined his words up with the Scriptures. And this doctor did a procedure on him and was believing, said, you know what, you're going to be whole. God's going to renew you. And again, my uncle was the pastor of the church that I attended, and this happened on a Thursday, and so I'd already been briefed. They told me, you know, I needed to lead the service. And we're getting ready to start worship, and the door's open, and here comes this man, and he has this halo on. You ever seen a halo? So he has these bolts in his head and a halo. And his nephew, who knows the Word, I say, what are you doing? If you move the wrong way, you're going to get injured, and you're going to hurt yourself. And he looks at me and he says, boy, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Now get up there and do the service and stop talking negative. What was he doing? He wasn't going to let anybody else steal what Jesus had already given him. What we hear is very important. And so we need the Word of God on the inside of us so that when the wrong things are spoken to us, we can come against it.
Amen.
You can refuse to let the wrong thoughts into your thought life by refusing to turn them over in your mind and refusing to think on them. Understand this, we cannot outthink wrong thoughts. We always have to answer them with the Word of God. You got to answer them with the Word of God. Learn to answer and not to entertain the suggestions of the enemy or the wrong thoughts of the enemy. Don't touch them. Don't turn them over in your thought life. Speak the word immediately. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare that we fight with are not of this world's weapons, but God's powerful weapons. We use these to destroy strongholds. We destroy false arguments. We pull down every proud obstacle that's raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it to obey Christ. How do we do that? By the Word. There's no way around it. We have to put ourselves in an environment where we're hearing the Word, we're taking in the Word, we're letting that Word convince us, assure us of God's goodness, His faithfulness, of God's healing power, about what He's done for us. We're holding on to that, and we're walking it out. And we're not letting anything steal that from us. No diagnosis, no family history. We're not letting anything steal it from us because we're hearing the right things and we're holding on to it. God's faithful and God's good. He's going to do some good things for us.
Amen.
But we have to make sure that we're listening to the right things. So I end it with this. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the fact that Jesus took stripes on his back so you don't have to? Have you heard the fact that his body was broken so yours doesn't have to be? Have you heard that God's healing mercies are already at work in you? If you have, then change the inner dialogue that you have. Begin speaking to the doubt and unbelief and watch what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, that as we receive your word, we ask, Lord God, that you remind us of it every day, that you show us how to use it, how to put it to use against the doubt and unbelief that might come. And Father, I thank you that as we begin to speak the word, hear the word, and hold on to the word, Lord, I thank you that our faith will grow stronger and stronger with each passing day. Father, I ask you to bless every person in this room, every household. Lord, move in their lives like never before. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.